You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Today's episode is brought to you by Munchie Mug, the world's number one premium no-spill snack cup. Listen to today's episode for a special offer from Munchie Mug. Munchie Mug, making your life less messy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back. There we are, a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian and the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me on the Dude South, Walt Dude South. It is Dude South. If I'm here, it's Dude South. And also due south of our state-of-the-art recording studio / our bedroom is my lovely wife, my CFO, and the co-host of this podcast, Melissa Nickerson.
Hey there.
Thanks for tuning in this morning, this evening, wherever you are, whatever you're doing right now. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
You guys hopping in the back seat, you backseaters. Today, we are going to talk about family, and we're going to talk about comedy. That's all we know so far, guys. We've got a hot day ahead of us. Hot day ahead of us is headed up. We're letting our child play hooky. We're going to go some animals. We're going to go on some rides. You know what? You don't need the details of our lives. We live secretive lives. Very secretive lives.
Not really.
I want to start off today by, I'm going to read you something.
Okay.
And it's very funny.
Great.
Yesterday I was Googling myself because I have a huge ego. And
uh-huh.
No, it's really.
Your net worth?
That came up.
Okay.
That's why. And there's like these little bot articles that just.
Ooh.
They grab some things about you on the internet and they, nobody wrote this. Like a bot wrote this.
Yeah.
And I just think it's very, very funny because it's all so wrong, but it's called, this is from factsbuddy.com. Charlie Barron's taught me this trick a while ago that when you Google yourself, you can see what people are searching by you, right? Because you'll see the next word.
Yeah.
So
Dustin
for
Nickerson.
Us, it's usually Dustin Nickerson comedy, Dustin Nickerson book, Dustin Nickerson wife, I think is actually the number one. Dustin Nickerson Mars Hill is pretty high up on there.
Well, and then other acts that you've opened for.
That's never on there.
Never?
Nope. That's never even high on there.
I think at one point.
Not anymore. Maybe back in the
jump. It was.
Dustin Nickerson Church is usually pretty high on there.
Yeah.
Dustin Nickerson Tour Dates. Yeah. And I saw Dustin Nickerson Net Worth. And so I'm like, well, what is that all about? And this is like the worst website I've ever seen. I mean, just the worst like fat pills on the corner. Like
video ads
of
fat pills.
So this is what it put together of just random stuff.
Great.
Dustin Nickerson is an American comedian podcaster presently hosting the Don't Make Me Come Back, their podcast, along with Melissa Nickerson. On his podcast, he talks about the funny realities of childhood, sibling, parenting, marriage, and so much, much more, and receives over 1 million downloads. He's a talent. I'm reading this as it's written.
Uh-huh.
He is a talented comedian known for his jokes about relationships, parenthood, and marriage. As of now, Dustin has appeared on Fox, Netflix, Comedy Central, and SiriusXM. So it's just grabbing stuff from the internet, right? Furthermore, he has authored a book titled How to Be Married to Melissa, set to be released on June 7th, 2022, through Thomas Nelson. His book is a hilarious guide to a happier and one-of-a-kind marriage, literally the tagline of the book.
Yeah.
In his free time, Dustin loves traveling and spending time.
Traveling!
Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
In his free time, Dustin loves traveling and spending time with his adorable, what do you think the next word is? You'll never guess it.
It was Taylor?
His adorable what? His adorable Taylor? No.
No, touring.
No, he loves traveling and spending time with his adorable parents.
Oh, did they find out photo from the Portland show?
I don't think there was a photo posted of that.
Oh, that's so funny.
He was born, this is months ago too. He was born and raised in the United States of America. However, he has not shared his date of birth with the public. However, he seems to be 38 years old.
You might have a birthday in a week.
Dustin Nickerson height. He's a man of average stature. Dustin stands at 5'8". Exactly right. I don't know how they knew that, not my birthday. Dustin Nickerson family. He was born and raised in Seattle in the United States of America under the care, love.
Saying United States.
Ready. Okay.
Of his
hardworking
adorable
and devoted parents. Dustin holds an American nationality by birth, but belongs to the white ethnicity.
In the United States.
Okay. Dustin Nickerson, wife. He is currently in a happy marital relationship with his beautiful and loving wife, whose identity remains unavailable.
Yes.
Incorrect. A, you've already said it. B, the book. She's on the book cover. Dustin and his wife have been living under the same roof since they were wedded over 15 years ago.
What? Yeah. False.
Currently, he's a proud father of three adorable children. The adorable family of five happily lives in Southern California. Dustin Nickerson education. As a result of his secretive nature, very little about his personal life is known to the public. For instance, his educational background remains unavailable. It's incorrect.
He's a fraud.
If you Google me, I think it shows that I went to the University of Washington. However, we shall update you on the matter as soon as we receive relevant information and trustworthy sources. So then the
and
podcast.
That's the sweatshirt you're going to return.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, so finally, net worth. From his career as a comedian, also a podcaster, there's no doubt he has gathered a decent amount of wealth over the years. Dustin's average net worth is $6
million. Wow, that's why his family's so happy.
Oh, exactly. That's so funny. And that's so ridiculous.
So ridiculous.
It's just very funny. But if you do, you know, also,
I guess that's our version of the tabloids.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, maybe I'll get famous and we'll get some of those too. Anyways, speaking of the internet, tour dates, everybody. If you go to dustinnickerson.com/shows, we do have one new one on sale. But this weekend, October 14th and 15th, I'm in Royal Oak, Michigan at Mark Ridley's Comedy Club.
Coming up next Wednesday,
this is the end of this tour. I'm in Philadelphia, October 19th at Helium Comedy Club, one of my favorite comedy clubs in the country. And then on sale right now, there'll be more coming. But at what we have right now on sale for the new year is January 6th and 7th in St. Louis. And just announced February 8th, Comedy Works Denver, you're on sale. Gosh, it's been too long since I've been to Denver headlining. At least that's just a one-nighter. If it sells out, we might add an I don't know, but you guys are in charge of that, not me. There it is, everybody. Also, could you tell them about Patreon if you guys aren't familiar with Patreon?
That's why I have my calendar out here, because we have a Patreon Zoom hang on Monday.
Switching it up on Monday. Have you told the patrons?
I've told the patrons. Yep. Patreon is a way to give a little more and get a little more. We've got merch. We've got news. You get the news faster. The special, the Dustin Nickerson news, bonus content.
DNN.
Backstage meet and greets, green room meet and greets.
We're doing a lot of those this tour. Yeah.
Absolutely. What else? We got one cameo a year, the Nickerson Christmas card.
We did two of those meet and greets. Oh, the Christmas card is coming up. That's a big one. You guys are going to want to get in on the old Christmas card.
And then the Patreon, the monthly Zoom hang, and we just hang out and chat it up.
It's a good Patreon, guys. It's good.
We have a good time. We really get to know the patrons, the ones that do the Zoom, I would say.
Yeah. The Patreon you get is a monthly hang with us, and then the meet and greet. Meet and greets, let me tell you this. Meet and greets are expensive. The meet and greets with Tay, I was watching hers.
And they buy the ticket package.
Yeah, it's very
adds
expensive.
On the meet and greet.
Meet and greets are expensive and move. And rightfully so. Taylor's very famous.
Yeah.
She's getting recognized a lot now. It's great. She noticed it too. And so hard to sell tickets. I want to say this to any of you guys who have come out and bought tickets on this show. Thank you so much. It means the world to us. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, you know, you can support all things Dustin Nickerson comedy in a lot of different ways. Patreon, you know, buying the book, listening
like
to the pod,
online.
Sharing the pod. We've had people have been leaving reviews. Thank you so much. The one that will always mean the most to me is buying tickets to live shows, because podcasters, author, internet creator, blah, 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 all these things, all the shares, all the first and foremost, we are a stand-up comedy business. Long term, you know, your livelihood is most attached to your live show. Short term, by the way, to the live comedy, which is why the pandemic was so brutal when we didn't have that.
Yeah.
And you saw just how desperate and embarrassed we were that we would do Zoom shows. I liked our Zoom shows, but there were, but I only liked our Zoom shows. There were ones that I was like, this is absolutely
brutal. you had to get like extra creative.
Right.
You know, still.
Yeah.
Still you got to do. Anyway.
So anyways, thank you guys for buying tickets. It really means a lot to us. Okay. On to the podcast. We are in the height right now of a couple big family issues. One is we have a child's birthday coming up. We are almost done with birthday parties for her. When do you remember your last birthday party? My last one I remember was eighth grade. Mm-hmm. And by then, and we've talked about this, seventh and eighth, actually I might have done it ninth grade year, but ninth grade was still middle school for me. Mm-hmm. Seventh, eighth, ninth grade year, we were at that point doing me and Janie, a girl I went to school with, we did 2 or 3 years in a row of a joint birthday party at the bowling alley.
Classic.
Where I think her parents reserved the room and paid for the lanes and my dad provided the food or something like that. I don't know the economics of the deal.
Yeah. Split the bill or something.
But really it was just an extended way for us to invite a bunch of friends to go bowling. That is a birthday party, don't get me wrong, but even just the joint nature of it, I don't remember a lot of presents at that age, you know, and that's why I feel like with our middle schooler, Gloria, I mean, how many she got left? When would you remember your last one?
Yeah, so Gloria has she has this fall birthday, so she's turning 13, and she's a seventh grader, so she's a little on the older side of seventh graders, like you were.
Same, right? Yeah. You get your license early. It's nice.
So I think my last formal birthday was in eighth grade, and I had just moved to Washington State, middle of eighth grade, and we had this little place, Wild Waves.
I was just thinking about Wild Waves.
You know why I remembered
this? This is a South Puget Sound staple.
I was driving Gloria home because we were planning a birthday party for her. Mm-hmm. And I was driving Gloria home from canoeing last night, and I was remembering that my parents just dropped us off at Wild Waves, which
in middle school.
In middle school, which people would do that. Like, you would just get your kid a pass, a season pass, and then drop them off because it's like a safe place to be.
It is a fairly safe place to be in the sense that you had to pay to get in there.
Yeah.
It's not a public place.
It's kind of like roller skating rinks.
Right.
Like, those are just for kids.
Yeah.
And
that's true.
In the 90s and stuff. So, like, only kids were there.
Yeah, actually, you know? Our
Pattison's.
Pattison's West, actually, I got tagged. My old friend Will, who, you know, from back in the day,
I know.
Elementary school, he tagged me on Facebook the other day. I guess that had gone under. And then, like, there's a new development group in Fisher Way that, like, bought it and is, like,
restoring it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is cool. I could see how something like Pattison's West or roller skating in general died again. But I could see how it could resurrect because more so than any age of people, teens need the third place, right?
Yeah.
They just need somewhere to be.
Well, and in a lot of ways, malls, maybe in major cities, I don't know. It kind of is in San Diego. Some of the malls just aren't really safe for kids to be at anymore.
No, well, they're very open.
They're all outdoors. I mean, you know, it's a public space. And
right.
At least for like preteen girls, you're like, we're coming along, or we're gonna trail you.
Yeah, there's no need to.
It's not like a paid water slide.
Park, yeah. I don't make any hard fast rules about what you should or shouldn't do with your kids as far as drop them when you drop them. That's all your guys' decision. I don't want to speak to that in any way whatsoever.
hot takes.
Yeah, none whatsoever.
Parental supervision.
I'm not even sure if we should let our kids be in public in any way whatsoever. Even with me. Actually, I prefer my kids just be locked in their respective studies. All
lores,
day long.
Caves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The less they can't let the daylight hit their skin. But I would say for us, I would not let our kids walk around a mall by themselves, and especially middle school girl. But this is funny how you think this way, and this is ridiculous. I know I'm going to say, part of me is like, well, it depends on the mall.
No, it does. Yeah.
There's good malls and there's bad malls. And, you know, like, it's who's around. Is there shady? What neighborhood is it in?
What time of day?
Yeah. Is it near, like, a city center? Because if it's near a city center, there's probably going to be
a bus line.
Yeah, it's going to more likely have more transients there, which is fine. Like, there's public restrooms there. I'm all for you guys getting to the, you have to go to the bathroom. I get that. But that will affect whether or not I feel crazy about dropping my kid there, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So
that was the whole point, was that my parents dropped us off at like 9, 10 a.m. At Wild Waves, and then picked us up at like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And then we like had cake at my house, you know?
That's incredible. Yeah. As I think more and more about that, you're like,
a bunch of 13-year-old girls.
Yeah, it would be nice to get to the point where we have all of our three of our kids who that's the kind of activities that they're doing, you know. But yeah, we have an 8-year-old, so we got to wait out on that.
Well, I think part of it too in SoCal is a lot of them are water-based, a lot of the parties.
Right.
And that's just kind of the one, I've said this before on here, party foul. You're like, hey, it's a swimming pool.
Right.
Like, we didn't buy a lifeguard.
Right.
Like, you have to stay. You know, yeah.
Well, there's an age that that ends too.
That's true. But not Claire's not at it yet.
No, yeah. No. Littler yeah. kid birthday mm-hmm. party with pool, you're like, all right, we didn't buy a lifeguard. It's very funny.
Rent a lifeguard, yeah.
Well, and you get very uneasy around pools and small kids.
I do.
Rightfully yeah. so. Mm-hmm. If there's a thing to be uneasy about.
It's not relaxing. Taking my three kids to the beach is
yeah.
not relaxing.
I would say we are with Joel officially at that age. We're like, oh, it's your birthday? Well, here's a family dinner and a couple presents. That's yeah. what it was for me in high school. Claim yeah. jumpers, baby. Mm-hmm. You were at a couple
oh, yeah,
of them.
That was your spot.
We were claim jumpers and a couple of cards.
Yeah. One time, my parents took me to the Space Needle with a friend.
Oh, that was yeah, yeah. I guess that mm-hmm. makes sense.
Yeah, I think that was my 16th birthday.
I want to hear, shoot us some emails on what you guys remembering, A, of your last birthday party, and B, when you cut your kids off from their birthday party, because mm-hmm. I want to know, because we're real close on one of them. Joel kind of, the pandemic kind of phased him out of it in general. Like, he was right around the age where he was going to get out of them anyways, and then right. we were on, like, lockdown at the time. It was May 2020, and that was the last semblance he had of a birthday party, but even then, we were kind of on the fence. But shoot us an email at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com, because I want to hear. Well, what I'm realizing now is it's just a lot to orchestrate for that age if you're still going to do something, because as we're running into, you're like, these kids, your friends, they are so busy, and mm-hmm. you're trying to get them to do something on Saturday. And what you keep running into is you're like, they all have things to do that day, and to put a birthday party in the middle of the weekend and accommodate around activities and family stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Rise is the big one, because you want to do an older kid thing, which means we don't just come to our house
right.
or come to the rec center ball pit, you yeah. know, mm-hmm. which means you have to go. It has to be more of a destination. In this case, the freaking beach.
Yeah.
And none of you are old enough to drive there.
Yeah. So we compromised with Gloria. We picked a bay spot that had like a rental mm-hmm. option. And then there's volleyball courts close, because she wanted a full on beach party. And you have to have so many adults
to pull that yeah.
off. Just like if the kids are in the water.
Right.
You know, it's
right,
one thing
right.
if you do like a bonfire, but also very difficult to pull off without a lot of adult supervision.
Yeah.
Suddenly there's just a bunch of kids walking around looking for the party.
And yeah.
Without parents. And
what are your thoughts on adult birthday parties?
Ooh.
Or gatherings
well,
of some type?
I was going to reference.
I tried to pull one off for myself for a while ago, and not yeah. enough people came, then it made me sad. And I was like, well, shouldn't have done this.
People came, Dustin.
I know, but there was a lot of like cancellations, and when it's like you're canceling.
It hurt your feelings.
It did. It was, I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something. I'm going to like. It wasn't like a birthday party.
Yeah.
It was like the coin hoss, like little, like, let's go have a beer or two and play some video games. And so I was like, I never do this. I never do
it. I think it was your 30th.
Wasn't that long ago?
No, maybe it was like your 32nd or 4th.
And I was like, hey, for my birthday, we're just going to go out here. Or it's my birthday. A bunch of us are going to go out tonight and get some drinks and play some video games at the coin hoss thing. And there were like a lot of people like no-showed. And you're like,
yeah,
I don't love the way this feels.
Well,
because it was already, I felt like kind of vulnerable just by asking people to come do it, because it was kind of embarrassing.
It's adults. I do think that people can effectively pull off the 40th sometimes.
Right.
I have a thing where my friend and I have the same birthday the same week.
Yeah.
So oftentimes we'll just like be like, we're going to be at this restaurant at this time.
Right.
You know?
Right, right, right.
And it is hard, because if it's loud, you can only really talk to like the person next to you.
Right.
And then you're like, man, thanks for coming. I didn't talk to you the whole night.
Right.
You know,
that's true.
Like, and that's a weird thing with guests. So
yeah. I think adult parties are like, hey man, it's just weddings. That's all you get.
Well, I was going to say the Dude Perfect video where they are opening this Christmas stereotypes.
Yeah.
And then the guy gets like a bunch of socks and like in a tie or something. And
right.
they're like, congrats, you're an adult now. Like,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
toys and gadgets and, you know, like, no, like you have like responsibilities.
Right.
Christmas has, you know, kind of lost its, you know, varnish because it's like that for birthdays too.
Yeah. Well, I will say Christmas as your kids get older, gets a little less like it's still magical. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But it's not as magical because you don't have like little kids like Christmas.
Yeah. Like screaming with like joy. Like, ah!
No. You had to wake them up.
Right. They want to sleep in.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be like, what do my friends get? I get it. Yeah. You know, that's their...
And Joel's a sophomore in high school. What's he going to get? 4 gifts? You know, there's not...
I think he might get car insurance. Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember talking to John Christ about this like a while ago.
A college tour?
Yeah. John was talking about how like his family, this is years ago when I was touring with him. He's like, we're at this like phase right now where we're all the kids are old, but none of us have had kids yet. So there's no like special Christmas morning experience when we all get together. It's like we're all in our pajamas and we all got a couple. It's like just a bunch of adults sitting around opening gifts.
Right.
You're like, well... The zeal, the excitement is people who are still, Christmas is still very fresh to them.
You mean a kid Christmas versus like an adult
A little kid Christmas versus an all adult Christmas, which we've had a couple of versions of that where you're like, oh man, we're all just a bunch of adults.
Yeah.
Some of y'all are nursing hangovers. Some of you are like the one person who got up to cook is furious about it. You know, and like there's a lot to unpack in adult Christmas can be a bummer.
We were talking to a friend on Christmas Eve and we were like, we've got the Christmas light bingo that we're setting out to do right now.
Yeah.
And the cinnamon rolls are prepped.
Yeah.
And we're going to be up until 2 a.m. wrapping gifts.
Yeah.
And they're just like, they don't have kids.
You were saying this all. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're like,
that's all fun. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like, whoa.
Yeah. We're holding on while we can. Holding on while we can.
And then, you know, they're just like, well, I got some gift cards, like, to put in envelopes. Like, it's just different. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're getting into the holidays are dad's sad season. As everyone in this house knows, especially you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I am down for between my birthday and New Year's. I mean, I can cry at any point without cue, without reason, other than just strong feelings. Forgive me for the melancholy nature of this podcast already. I just had this glimpse of like a Christmas where me and you woke up and it was just us.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh.
Get ready.
No.
You had a ghost of Christmas future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, what does it take to get all of your kids together for every Christmas? And it's impossible.
That's a miracle.
You can't do it.
Yeah.
It's literally too much to ask for because they have other families with other people that you have to accommodate for.
But you don't know when that's going to start happening. I guess that's the harsh reality.
Well, if Joel is us, he'll meet his future wife next summer. If he's me.
Yeah. That's coming up.
And then in about 3.5 years, he'll have someone doing premarital counseling that tells him, hey, consider breaking away from your family traditions. And if I find that person, I'll murder them. And also I was going to say on this, and then I want to get to what you said, the adult birthday too is like, I think you can pull off 40 for a thing.
We know
some people recently who have done like destination 40s, you know, and I
get
that.
Depends on how successful you are.
I mean, that's what I was going to say of like, I would say 36, really 37, my birthday last year was the first birthday that I got that I was really unhappy with the numbers I was hitting. Like, these don't feel celebratory to me anymore. But birthday is a celebration, you know, it's your big day, we're all celebrating you. Mm-hmm. And I get that. But at a certain point, you just start hitting numbers that you're like, I'm not crazy about being this age. I don't love that it ticked up one more. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like, I just don't like the way that it feels. As I said, like, you know, 36, right? Once I hit 36, I started saying we're on the 40 side of 30. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't like, once you are getting anywhere near 40, you stop hearing anything like, oh, you're so young. You don't get that anymore. You know, unless someone's like in their 60s and you're like, well, yeah, according to you, I am. But anyways.
No, I mean, it's feeling so middle-aged. Yeah, so middle-aged.
Feeling.
But
we are.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
there's nothing feeling about it.
I mean, all my friends are in their 40s.
Well, I mean, so. Way to throw your friends under the bus there. No, I'm kidding. Well, I would say I said this on stage because I've been riffing on a few of these ideas. The bummer is that the only part of you that doesn't feel 40, the only part of you that doesn't feel middle-aged is your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Your brain's as sharp as it's ever been. Sharper. You know,
right? Because like, you've learned and lost, you know, more. So much.
You know more. You have better life perspective. Mm-hmm. You've accumulated the things in life that you need to know. You're a faster learner on like life skills and experiences. You have all this knowledge and insight. You know, and you're like, well, I don't. Up here feels pretty sharp. Any information I have lost, I didn't need.
Right.
I'm trimming down up there. My brain's losing weight. It's keeping just the necessities up there. It's stronger and leaner and more muscular than it's ever been. Meanwhile, my knees and my teeth and my, you know, various aches and pains.
I know.
We shouldn't do podcasts in the morning this early.
Mm-hmm. You're really derailing.
You know, but we just got a lot to work through here. We got a lot to think through. I said this on stage. I'm glad I didn't put this joke
this
in
the
special.
This is your new material that you're building.
Here's a little Dustin's Comedy Corner. We recorded the special last Sunday, two Sundays ago. You do the thing now where like I recorded like 50, 55, and you're like, well, I don't want the special to be that long. And so I'm kind of trimming out some of the ideas.
And
anything that I had in there that had to do with like aging, I'm keeping out because I'm like, well, that's going to be a lot of the new hour. And I don't even know if I did this in the special, but you know, I've been doing this joke of, you know, I'm 37. 38. I have like 7 friends. If one dies, I have 6 friends. At this point, I'm not adding new ones. And I go, if one dies, I have 6 friends. I go, they're just like Guess Who characters that I slam down.
Oh, gosh.
And that's been getting a laugh.
Guess Who? That's hilarious.
Not you. You're out.
But I was going to say this Halloween, not trying to go to a pumpkin patch all that much.
I know. So sad. Your kids getting older is so sad.
And we brought a dinner to our former neighbors and they have brand new baby. And Claire and Gloria were both like, ew, we don't like babies.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, go say hi.
Go say hi.
And that's what made me realize, oh my gosh, like we don't have a lot of friends that are having babies. They've had their babies.
Oh, Melissa, you know? We were watching She-Hulk last night and there was a wedding episode and I was like, I don't know the next wedding that I'll go to.
Right.
All our friends are married or getting to the age where they probably wouldn't do a wedding.
A destination.
That's what I was talking to Taya about. Taya was like, I'm not to air her plans and stuff, but she's like, I'm on the fence about whether or not I would do one. You know, she's like, eloping looks pretty cool. And then just like throwing like a party or something, you know?
Right.
It is like, you get to an age where
it's up to the couple. We have a couple engaged friends, but
the Egans are engaged and they're doing a wedding and you know, we're not going to.
Zoltz is engaged.
Yeah. Zoltz is engaged. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their plans are.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, to your point, weddings and young baby stuff, when you're like, oh, I guess this is why like old people or local, not older people, but people with older kids, when they see a baby, they get really excited because there was a season of our life there where we were having young kids and all our friends were having young kids. I was like, the last thing I need to see is a baby.
Babies are everywhere.
Babies are everywhere in my life right now. Mm-hmm. This does nothing for me here. But now it is like when I see a baby, I'm like, oh, baby.
there's a novelty to it.
Yeah.
And speaking of babies.
Munchie Mug. Hey. Guys, if you're not familiar with Munchie Mug, Munchie Mug is still actually a pretty helpful product because kids spill stuff at all ages. We sat down and watched She-Hulk last night. Should have been using the Munchie Mugs because we had 3 kids with 3 bowls of popcorn each spill on average 9 popcorns each. It's crazy. Yep. Munchie Mug is the best spill-proof cup on the market for those.
For snacks.
For snacks. Whatever it is that you have in your life that you don't want spilled.
Veggie straws.
Pirate's booty.
There we go. Yeah, we're in sync.
Seasonal candy corn.
Uh-huh.
Candy corn with the pretzel mix.
Chex mix.
Whew. Chex mix all berries. Oops, all berries. It's a great product. Comes in a variety of colors, a little fabric lid, a little sensory experience made right here in the United States, and it's dishwasher safe. And if you guys go to Munchie Mug, you can get a special offer. If you use promo code Don't Make Me, that's all one word, Don't Make Me, to get 25% off your entire order. No apostrophe on that one. No, I don't know about the
all caps.
All caps? I don't know if it matters. But anyways, munchymug.com. Use promo code don't make me to get 25% off your entire order. Munchy Mug.
Making your life less messy.
Let's get into a couple emails here. Last week we brought up the issue, 2 weeks ago, the issue of, it was last Flem's Day. The day was Flem's Day. I know, I got a bunch of people messaged me that day. Happy Flem's Day.
Yes.
It feels... I don't know.
It's appropriate.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Flem's Day. You're like, mm-hmm. What? They got another name? They named it that? What? Why'd they do it? Why didn't they just call it Extra Day Day? We were talking about dress code issues.
Yeah,
and at school. It was mm-hmm. school mm-hmm. and our kids and how to talk about it. And we got a couple emails here. This one here is from a friend and a friend of the podcast, Jamie.
Hey, Jamie. Yep.
And it says, hi, friendlies. And this is subject dress code. We have a dress code at the middle school I work at that no one really enforces except for one hard, fast rule. Students are not allowed to have blankets or stuffed animals. That's the hill we die on, apparently. She does the shrug emoji. Because we did talk about the one of the hardest part about the dress codes is enforcing it. And you hate mm-hmm. to be that person. Mm-hmm. I tell kids in general that most clothes are acceptable somewhere. Just needs to be the right time and place. I give them the example of your swimsuit is for the beach, not for wearing to science. That's good. I like that.
That's good.
I tell them everywhere they'll work will probably have some sort of dress code, which we talked about. Mm-hmm. I point mm-hmm. out even I have a dress code. As a school sign language interpreter, I wear plain tops that contrast my skin tone and no fun nail polish. I'm pale, so lots of dark clothes for me. living in the Northwest, Jamie, that's not going to help that. It's a hard game of teaching kids it's okay to wear clothes you like and feel good in, but to wear the right clothes in the right context, all while being cautious to not shame or put unfair rules on just the girls. That's a good articulation mm-hmm. of the rule right yeah. there. Sometimes you'll wish we had uniforms. Uniforms are easier in that sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is it's exactly it. If you are trying to empower, that's a great way of putting it though, Jamie. Well done of just saying like, hey, there's a time and a place. I'm not saying you can't wear those clothes. I'm saying you can't wear them here. School has a ton of rules.
Yeah, but I do think middle school has more rules about dress code than high schools do. Because high school, you're kind of like, hey, you're almost out of here.
You're almost out of here, yeah.
You're going to have to make these decisions for yourself.
That's true. Life, and also, you know? They're like, you know, we're going to let you all have licenses. Mm-hmm. Some of you can like legally buy cigarettes. Some of you are going to go to the military soon. Yeah, some people vote while they're in high school.
Right.
You're making decisions based on your, you know, about what you want to do with your future. But
you can have a job.
Jamie is exactly right because there's just issues that you get into where you're like, I'm not just trying to shame girls.
Yeah, like apologize for your body, you know?
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah, yeah, you're like, well, this isn't an issue for a lot of guys. And you're like, I know, it's an unfair system. Or it's I don't even know if unfair is the right word. At the rec center I worked at, because it was like a family rec center, it did have dress code issues. Mm-hmm. You know, if there were 100 times we had to talk to people about dress code, 2 of them were guys. And we're like, hey, you got to keep your shirt on at the gym here. And I think that's true of any gym. I don't think you're allowed to take your shirt off at gyms. I don't know.
I don't go to gyms. Oh, we drove through SDSU yesterday.
Yeah, well,
I don't.
SDSU does not have a dress code.
No, and neither does their pool.
Yeah. Yeah, the pool is different. Yeah.
Specifically, the SDSU pool does not have a
dress code. Yeah, 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 yeah. What's the opposite of the more the merrier? The less the lovelier? If anything, at the SDSU pool, they're like, I'm sorry, we don't allow one pieces.
Are you nuts?
I'm sorry. Only moms can wear that. We are not the Croc Center pool. Anyways, let's read one more on this. This is from Krista. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Jamie.
Hey, Dustin and Melissa. I live just south of Seattle, Auburn, and I grew up here too. South Enders, baby.
All right.
We have some great Northwest fans. Like we've been talking. This is the thing. What other podcast in the world is going to get this many Federal Way, Wild Waves, Auburn, South Puget Sound references? It's incredible. Uh-huh. I really love listening to you to reminisce about your childhood in the PNW. I also went to SPU. Lots of connections. Wow. Oh my gosh, a fellow Falcon here. Anyways, thanks for all the laughs and making me feel like a normal parent. They are both so relatable. About the dress codes. The dress code policy at Auburn High School in the early 2000s. This is great because this is going to be probably very similar to what we had.
Right.
Was to make teens wear gigantic neon t-shirt with dress code violator printed on the chest. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the Scarlet Letter.
Mm-hmm.
They did the Scarlet Letter. Oh my gosh.
Now, I think maybe that LMAC does like, now that they have PE uniforms, they might tell you to wear a PE uniform.
Do you hear what they're saying? Yeah, if they mess up, they have to wear a bright green shirt says dress code violator on it.
Wow.
It was definitely a deterrent from showing midriff or letting your thong underwear, 2000s, show over the top of the low-rise jeans, which was also very popular back then. We both recall that. I'm pretty sure they don't enforce the dress code that way anymore, but it made me laugh thinking back of seeing kids walking around in those shirts when they broke the rules.
Yeah, maybe it would be like, ironic though, but I don't know, somebody would still rock it.
That's
a lot. My mom sent me a photo of me with my cousins, like it was like Christmas morning or something. Little Mel had some low-rise jeans on.
Had a little crack showing. That was that was the era.
Yep.
Krista ends here. It's unseasonably warm right now, but I'm already dreading the gray rainy gloom that will settle in next month. The dark months are coming, Krista. Ooh. They are. That's the type of idea that in the 2000s, I would have come up with an idea like that. Like, let's be funny about it. Or let's like be so ridiculous and kind of over the top that maybe this will be like a funny kind of way to deter them from doing it. Or maybe someone was way more shame-based when they did it. But that is literally, that is the scarlet letter.
I do think educators, you know, they have their hands tied, and I get that.
Like, that was some PE teacher who got in charge was like, what should you do? He's like, well, just wear a bright green shirt that says dress code violator. And like, that's not the worst idea we've ever heard. Because that was a lot of the time the issue. If someone broke dress code, that's what they had worn to school that day.
Right. I was listening to an audiobook. It's called Under Pressure. It's about teenage girls, basically. And she was saying that, like, okay.
I'm going to keep the beat going cool.
At you. Yeah. The little... cool title.
I was just going to give you the song the whole way through the story. I was trying to punch up your story.
Great.
I lost interest really quick.
Could you just let me talk? Because I can't focus.
I know, but I think
let me tell you, the listeners might be losing focus too. It's interesting. I didn't say article.
You said book, which is just a longer article.
So this psychologist was saying that teens are much healthier. Statistically, they are using less drugs, they are using less substances, they're having less sex, they're having more protected sex, they have less partners, like, you know, and you can look at that however you want, but like every, you know, boomer is like, nobody respects anyone anymore, and you know, and
interesting,
and I get that in education, like that they're like, oh, these kids aren't respectful, and
you mean like shame-based fear-mongering disciplinarian wasn't effective?
Some kids were turning to substances to cope.
You mean thinking, making them just thinking it was the most evil thing in the world didn't, you know, that you mean that piqued their interests?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I had a friend. I said that we go to a lot of drive-in movies.
Right.
Which is more like last year.
Yeah. But,
and he said to me, I would have never gone to a drive-in movie with my parents when I was 15. A 15-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I totally get that.
100%, yeah.
I totally get that.
Yep.
Pandemic, the world, technology, like, it's different. It's different.
I think our family culture is, too, is just like, we wouldn't let him not go. You're like, we're going. This is it. Our family's doing a thing tonight. You also get friend time, but...
Yeah. I think that if anything about millennial parents or kind of whatever is they're more emotionally connected with their kids.
Mm.
That's my guess.
Oh, I know. I 100%. Well, I mean, the bar was pretty low. You mean that we are emotionally connected with our kids, you know?
I don't know. I don't want to ruffle feathers too much.
Whose feathers are you ruffling here?
I don't know.
I think it's not an observation. It's a book. It's a psychologist. It's a real thing that you read. I think that 100% makes sense. I see the behaviors of our kids and they're like, quote unquote, like bad friends, if you will, for lack of a better phrase. And I was like, high school's tamer than it used to be. I remember. I mean, I'm sure those stories like exist, obviously. Yeah. But I was like, dude, I had friends almost die several times.
Yeah.
They get like alcohol poisoning, drunk accidents. Yeah, it was gnarly. Like, people were getting pregnant. People got STDs. You know, there were fights. There were people getting stabbed and stuff. Like, I mean, I went to a rough school, but still,
And it was in seventh and eighth grade too.
Yeah, that stuff was happening pretty young. I do think that there is like, and you can say what you want, you'd like, this is not like a political statement, but every generation is much more open-minded than the generation before them, meaning that like this generation is a fairly progressive, open-minded, non-judgmental generation.
Gen Z.
What are our kids? Are they Gen Z? I don't think they have a title yet. The point being, they're very Like, you know what we don't hear about with our kids? Bullies. Like that just does not come up, you know?
Mm-hmm. That was like a huge part. Yeah. I mean, I guess there's internet trolls.
They're all online. Bullying was a pretty significant part of my childhood.
Yeah.
And I think everybody. You just had kids that you were scared of because they were bullies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Teens with substance abuse, there's bigger problems.
Yeah.
Right? When you're coping with substance
abuse. Well, and I think that
you're not dealing with pain.
I obviously, that it did affect me in some significant way because I married a bully.
Yeah.
Nah. All right, we're going to do one more email and then we're going to get out of here. This is going to be a quick one. Hey, Dustin and Melissa, we're taking a family vacation to San Diego next May and would love some recommendations. Ooh. Our girls are 10 and 7. Aww. Any insight would be much appreciated. I seem to remember Mel loving an aquarium where she chaperoned a school field trip. I think that was the art museum
that
up
was
in
a
LA.
Getty, but
10 and 7.
10 and 7.
Probably too old for the kids' museum. That's
they could go, but.
Yeah, kids' museum's good. The Legoland's fun.
Museum.
You might be able to make milk a. I think Gloria was 10, maybe 9 on her last Legoland, depending on what they want at the theme parks. Legoland is
there
very built in, very contained.
Good rides, yeah.
And Carlsbad
that
does.
7 adults can do.
People have mixed feelings about SeaWorld here. I'm just going to speak on it at a fairly objective level or non factual. SeaWorld is very fun. There's a lot of rides and there's a lot of animals, and it's never that busy.
I think like peak weekends, if you can go during the week.
Yeah.
You know,
that's in regards to amusement parks, free stuff or more affordable things. Balboa's stunning, and there's a ton of great museums there.
Claire's favorite is the Natural History Museum.
The Nat is very good here.
The science one. Yeah.
They've got a little Japanese friendship garden that we like going, garden that's going through. They have a ton of museums. They just opened a Comic-Con museum there, which we haven't been to, but we're going to go soon.
Oh, and then the shuttle is free. That's fun.
Yeah. You take the shuttle around. Also, if you're there every Tuesday, there's certain ones that are free. So.
Yeah, those are residents, though.
Oh, never mind then.
Free.
Also, the downtown Seattle, San Diego water park is great. Very great downtown park.
And that's free. It's fantastic.
The best little touristy walks that you can do are going to be Gas Lamp is very bumpy, touristy. The most touristy area of downtown is Seaport Village. That's like going to be like the like shops and cheesecake factories and stuff like that.
Water views, but that's very touristy.
Little outing things. My favorite beach
Little
is
Italy.
Little Italy is great. I really like Little Italy
might be worth it.
Day trips or outside neighborhoods that we really like are both drive beaches are like La Jolla and Coronado are my favorite beaches to go to.
Mission Bay has the roller coasters and
what's that
boardwalk?
What's that area called? Mission Bay Park or amusement thing? That's fun.
And then I would say the Bay, Mission Bay, like you could rent a paddleboard or there's a lot of playgrounds, taco shops. It's a very fun place to be. Boardwalk, just beautiful.
Yeah, and
views.
For the Mexican food recommendations, I would say do one absolute hole in the wall. They all taste the same. There's a couple ones that are really good. And then we really like City Tacos, and those are all over. If you're looking for a cool hipster neighborhood area, North Park is our highest recommendation. Mall fashion is our best mall.
The best.
There's a lot to do in this city.
The Better Buzz is acai bowls and coffee.
Yeah, that's not my favorite coffee.
I don't know. Everyone's got
No matter where you're staying, there's going to be like a Dark Horse nearby. And Dark Horse is probably the most consistently good throughout the city. So enjoy your trip, everybody.
Yay.
And thanks for listening to the podcast.
All right.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. Wanted to give a special shout out to our As Essential As Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up level patrons. Thank you so much for your support of the podcast and Dustin Nickerson Comedy. That is Trey Turner, Nathan and Jennifer Merritt, Adam Bush, Jennifer Ashley Downs, Juliana Smith, Jordan Cowan, Code to Grow, Courtney Ibleen, Lori Amos, Dave and Melissa Cox, Isaac Teron, Farah Journey, Bonnie Galindo, Carrie Teague, Avril Griffiths, Jessica Sewell, Rachel Kennedy, Dave Hoagland, Demarius Diaz-Stevens, Nicole Carraz, and Tiffany Payne. Thank you so much, everybody.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.